Have some men help me, that would be fun, if everybody has it. All right, it looks like that's the last of the note, so let's stand, please. So for all of you that are reasonably awake at Lake County Baptist, I am in the process of preaching through the book of 2 Samuel. But I don't feel obligated to preach through a book every single week without interruption. So I don't know that we'll get back with 2 Samuel before until next year, so you know. And it's only because I don't want to, there's a passage that I want to deal with and I haven't figured out what the best time to do it is. Because it's a passage that is difficult. 2 Samuel 6, if you want to know. So we'll do that sometime in the future. I'm going to do some other things in the next few weeks. So this particular sermon you're looking at was written probably a year ago. I typed the notes 4 or 5 months ago, and I just kind of left it around until I felt like preaching it to Frenchie, because I learned that Frenchie has a problem here. and by the way, if you're family visiting, glad you guys are here. I'm just going to say this to everybody. Now, understand, I come from Baptist roots in America. My family comes out of North Carolina, 1775, before the Revolutionary War. Separate Baptist. Baptists have been against drinking alcohol as a beverage as far back as you can trace. So you don't become a Baptist because you come from a family of Baptists. You become a Baptist by getting saved and following the Lord in believer's baptism and then obeying him, yes? But I'm just saying, I mean, I just come from these roots. We do have other Baptist groups that, you know, today you can pretty much do anything. My daughter sent me a video that I will show sometime in church that shows you the other kind of churches. But we're an old, you know, I just believe there's some things that, and this is not really negative tonight. It's about what it talks about being a leader and having alcohol in your life. Verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Were there any kings in Israel that disobeyed that? Wow. Then the text says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? What would be the problem? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Now, on the other hand, in the ancient world anyhow, to a lesser degree today, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So alcohol in the ancient world did have a place, but it wasn't a place of drinking in the sense of using it for a beverage to get the buzz or whatever term you want to use. So this evening, I'm going to speak on the leader and alcohol, and you'll quickly realize, I assume, if you're a Christian, you have leadership responsibilities. So I'm going to ask you all a question, and then I'm going to pray. You're going in for surgery. And you get to the hospital, and you meet your surgeon, and you, have you been drinking? He says, oh, no, just a little bit. You good with that? Why? Seriously? Because you're a Baptist? No, there's something about that. You're thinking, I don't really want you cutting on me because I know something, and what do you know? Alcohol does things to you. So we'll talk about that, and that comes to really the text, the leader, and alcohol. Let's pray, please. Father, I thank you for this night. I ask that this would be a helpful night. We're going to just deal with some simple ideas. I don't think anything tonight will be complex whatsoever. It is so plain, so obvious, and such a given, yet only in churches today is drinking cool. Churches and taverns. Strange. Help us to learn some things tonight that might help us, especially those of us, which I think most of us are, leaders in some area of life. Bless our time, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In 1995, I and a deacon in my church in St. Louis and his son took a trip to Mexico. We flew from St. Louis area to San Antonio. It was the only time I've been in San Antonio. We went to the Alamo, which was nice. We then flew from there to Monterrey, and then from Monterrey we flew to San Luis Potosí. We stayed there about a week, and on the way back we had a different path and a different kind of plane. For some reason there were no big planes, and they put us in a plane of about 30 people. And when you got onto the airplane, it was pearly size. It had about 30 people, and when you got on the plane, and by the way, this does not make me comfortable. When you get on a plane and you have to walk down like this to find your seat, I don't like those kind of planes. Now, this was 1995. Some of you haven't flown much, but in 1995, they would leave the door open. You could look right into the cockpit and watch the guys do their business. I don't really like watching pilots work. You say, why? I don't know. It scares me. But as I was watching that day, something really struck me. I started almost getting a panic attack, and I don't get anxious. But I started thinking too much, and I guess I was tired, and it was hot, and a bunch of things like that. And I started thinking, I wonder, do they get the same commercial training that pilots in America get? Hey, you see this guy over here, Cliffy? He is a very bad guy. When he talks about airlines in the Philippines, he has names for all of them. Cebu Pacific takes off in Cebu, ends up in the Pacific. What's the other ones you have, Cliffy? There's another one. Spirit Airlines. What? And what do you say about it? So, my point is, you leave in Asia, you land as a spirit, you're dead. I'm looking at this guy and I'm starting to think, oh no, I don't know. I hope this guy gets trained like they do in America. Then it hit me. Can you drink and fly in Mexico? You're saying yes. All I know is, friend, the more I thought about it, the more panicked I got. By the time I got to San Antonio, I had a splitting headache that lasted a week. I had messed myself up. Why? Because I didn't want somebody taking off, flying, and landing who had been drinking. Oh, by the way, let me ask you a question. How much alcohol do they allow you to have in your system if you're an airline pilot? 0.0. Wow. In your notes, kings or princes in the ancient world, frankly, are what really were leaders. People that took leadership roles. People that had leadership responsibility. And I think all we're going to talk about tonight is the leader and alcohol. And in the modern world, many of us are leaders. And many of us are leaders in many ways. I'm a pastor. I teach Sunday school. I'm a dad. I'm a grandfather. I'm a husband. I'm a brother. I'm a friend. I'm a person that drives a car. On the way to church tonight, my wife and I, from almost 27th Street all the way to we turned off, the entire trip coming from Zion down, only a couple miles the entire time. By the way, how does this make you feel? We're in our lane, and there's a person driving in both lanes the entire way. And you're thinking one of two things. You're thinking alcohol or, and they're the same. Cell phones or alcohol. And the person just kept doing it. You don't want to get around them because you're afraid they'll run into you when you try to get around them. So you, yes. Well, number one in your notes, very clearly from this text and other text, alcohol has no place in the life of a leader. Give not thy strength unto wine, unto women, excuse me, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings or leaders. You would never do something that would remove your leadership. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And I believe, I will not prove this. This would be another setting, and I've taught on this many times. In the Old Testament, they seem to have wine, look at me, and wine products. And when wine, fresh grape juice, becomes alcoholic at about 5%, about what a beer is, in the ancient world, then it starts decaying and it becomes vinegar. Exactly. You have that in the Old Testament. You have vinegar of wine. Strong drink, I think, was simply wine made from other sources of sugar. And you can make wine from pretty much anything that has sugar. If you're sophisticated, you can even make it from starch and turn the starch into sugar, which turns into, yes, there's many ways of making wine. Strong drink is simply wine made from other fruits or sugar sources. And by the way, it also turns to vinegar because there's places in the Old Testament that talks about the vinegar of strong drink. 1 Timothy 3. Now that's, by the way, that's for a king in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, this is the elder, pastor, overseer. We're supposed to be not given to wine. Titus 1:7 says, for a bishop or overseer must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, nor soon angry, not given to wine. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. Now, what had just happened? Look up here. Have you read Leviticus recently? What had just happened to Aaron's sons? They had come into the holy place and they had offered what? Strange fire. And the idea being is they probably went in there with a little inebriation, a little drunkenness. And God then kills those two brothers and then says, don't do this when you're performing the work of a priest. He goes on to say, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And here's the reason, that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Indicating, if you're under the influence of alcohol, it affects you. You can't tell the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, holy, unholy, clean and unclean. Something happens. It affects you, and not for the better. Now, these are some basic thoughts, and these all say the same thing. I say in your notes, introductory thoughts. You're either in one of these four categories. Number one, you are a leader. And in most of our cases, we're already leaders. Now, if you're Jackson or if you're Carter, well, Jackson's a leader because he's already a leader of Carter. Yes, Jackson. Which means you have to do right so Carter follows you. Yes? Yes. We're not sure about that, actually, but that's the goal. By the way, friend, no matter who you are in this room, in some areas you have leadership potential and leadership responsibilities. So you are a leader, or next, you are a leader in training, meaning maybe you're a younger individual and you're training to be a leader in various areas. Or, sad to say, you're older and you should be a leader. You should be the person actually doing some leading. You should set an example. Or, for many of us in this room, for all the older men and women in this room, you are maintaining your leadership. Can you lose your ability to lead? Yes or no? Look at me. My favorite, I have many people I love in this room. There's a few that I don't love. Should I name those first? No. I love Dada. I've known Dada for how long, Dada? 21 years? Not as long as I've known Mike. I've known Mike for 40 years this year. Wow. We were young. Look at me. Both of those men are leaders in this church, correct? If either one of those men showed up drunk, would they lose their leadership? Hey, look, this is not a joke. You have to, once you become a leader, you have to maintain who you are. You know, it doesn't make any difference if, you know, some of you have seen the movie. I recommend, and I'm not a movie person, and this is true for everybody in this room that's an adult can watch this movie outside of Frenchie. He needs no more movies. But the movie, what is the movie I had you watch, Tim? What's it called? Sully. Well, that guy, that airplane pilot, landed that plane in the river in New York City and saved everybody on board. Look at me. The first thing they did was drug test him and alcohol test him. Immediately. You say, he saved all those people's lives. They didn't care about religion, folks. They wanted to know if that guy was drunk up there flying that plane. And in the deposition, they ask him, when's the last time you drank? And he knew down to the second. And the other guy said, I never drink. This is not a joke. So you're either a leader, training to be a leader. Some of you younger guys and young ladies, you should be a leader, or you're maintaining your leadership. And this goes in many places. I'll give you a few names. I'm not going to try to fill all these in. So let's just ask some questions. The first one, in your box, you can put anything in these boxes you want or nothing. How about a pilot? Do you think a pilot can drink? Tom, you're a police officer. What about a police officer? Are they okay with you having a few shots? Something happened in the day, a guy gets in a wreck. Do they get tested for alcohol? Yes. Hey, look at me, folks. How about this? You say, I'm not a real special person. I work at the factory and I drive heavy equipment. Do you think they test you for drugs and alcohol? Most of those corporations do it randomly. How about your surgeon? Oh, I can just imagine walking into your surgeon, the surgeon's going, boy, it was a nice night last night. And you're thinking, oh, you're not doing surgery on me. You're not coming around me. And folks, we could go on and on and on. How about a truck driver? Do you want a truck driver out on the road with a tractor trailer truck that will run right over your vehicle drinking? Number two, I'm only going to say four statements. Alcohol has no place in the life of a leader. Number two, giving alcohol a place removes the leader's ability to lead. Look at me. Drinking alcohol removes your ability to lead. It doesn't do it tomorrow. It does it instantly. Because it does some things that are the worst possible things that can happen to a human. Now, we're going to look at lots of text. See if tonight your mind can pick up on what the text say. Why don't we drink? How does it remove our ability to lead? Proverbs 31:5 says, lest they drink, and the first thing that happens is they forget the law and pervert, twist the judgment of any of the afflicted. Alcohol has a way of removing your ability to lead in that you do not think clearly and you do not remember well. It affects both your memory and your ability to think. Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Because why? Alcohol removes our ability to think. Look at me, friend. I hate alcohol. I hate every drop of alcohol. Every time I've ever seen someone do something stupid, alcohol is involved. So please don't come to me and be pious. The dumbest things I've ever heard. It's like, what were you thinking? You weren't thinking. Alcohol had removed your ability to think. You say it was just a couple of shots. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify, it immediately keeps coming back to the same things. Justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Isaiah 28:7. But they have erred. How did they err? Through wine and through strong drink. Are they out of the way? The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of the wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in. Look at me. Young people, I know we have kids in our church that are stupid. Some of them I love as much as I love anybody in this room. I understand I was a kid, young and stupid. May I just suggest to you, there's certain things you don't need to really dabble with. You don't need to go out to a sewer, John, put your head in the sewer just to find out if it's okay. You might be able to take your grandpa's advice. I'm pretty sure Ron wouldn't want you to put your head in the toilet and say, I wonder if it's okay. Maybe those Baptists are against fun. By the way, the same grandpa would also tell you probably drinking's not a good idea, yes? You just don't need to go there. Why? What's there? You say, you're extreme. Look me in the eyes. Show me one good thing that happens with alcohol. I want to know what you can do. People say, well, I have good conversations. We have a conversation that goes on for 2 hours on Sunday night. We don't drink. Well, Cliffy over here drinks a lot of Pepsi or something, but I mean, nothing else. Come on, folks. We continue. Some of you think Pastor Warren is beside himself. It says they are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in the very thing they need judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Isaiah 56:12. Come ye that say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. I don't have this in the notes, but I'd like you to look at me for one moment. The greatest fear I have, I'm confessing something about me. This is transparency. If you say, do you have fears? I don't have fears of height. I don't have fears of a lot of things. I have a fear of one thing. I will confess to you that I have the fear of not being able to think clearly. Because the moment I can no longer think clearly, I can no longer do what I'm doing right now. Have you ever seen a man try to preach that can't think clearly? I have. The greatest fear in my life, there will come a day when God removes my ability to think well. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Why on God's green earth? Hey, quit the drifting. Why on God's green earth would I ever do anything to remove artificially my ability to think? When that's my greatest fear. Because the moment I can't think clearly, it's all over. I'm no longer a pastor. I'm no longer a leader. And you're going to tell me I'm going to drink something to remove my ability to think? Yes, we have people that send their kids to Lake County Baptist School who get drunk with their kids. And they're all them and their kids are on their way to hell. You know it and I know it. Quit being pious. Quit being, I just want to help them. What do you want to help them do? Drink more? It's time that the people in this room say, you know what? There's a right and there's a wrong and there's places we don't go. If my little mother, and she's small, if my little mother could say, the Warrens aren't going to do this, I'm thinking you can do the same. Good grief. You say, Pastor Warren, look in your notes. Alcohol has many. Do you notice the next words? What are they? These are not things you have to pray about. What is the first effect that alcohol has? It lowers one's... Say it. It lowers one's... Now, if you are really, really a little slow in the head, young ladies, you're going to find a guy that wants to get you drunk because he loves you so much. Alcohol lowers one's inhibitions. Please look at me. I will not be personal because we have younger children here tonight. Every evil thing that I've ever heard that a male does to a child, drinking is always connected. I have no need of alcohol, period. You say, why? Because it messes up. Look at me. Look at me. I'll wait till the sleepers wake up. Look at me. It does things to your mind that you will do things you would never do any other way. Is that true? Secondly, alcohol, and by the way, this is not down the road. It slows one's reaction time, which might be the reason they don't let airline pilots drink. Because not only does it slow your reaction time under altitude pressure, it really slows your reaction time, and you don't have that much. Now, my wife will remember this. In St. Louis, one time in my life, I've only seen one of these once, the news media. The news media actually did an exposé of drinking. And a reporter in St. Louis did an experiment with the police because the police were telling him it only... back in those days, the alcohol, legal limit of alcohol in all states was... They didn't even have a limit at first. Then it was 1.0 for a long time. Now it's 0.8. I mean, it's lower, but look at me. This reporter did something over a period of 6 days. He went to a professional driving course that the police had, and he had to drive his car through an obstacle course. On the first day he had, look up here, 6 drinks. At the end of drinking 6 shots of whiskey, by the time the alcohol got into his system, when he walked out to the car, you tell me, did he think he could drive or not? He was very confident. They videotaped his driving. It was horrific. He came back the next day or so. 5 shots. They did this every day. And you know what they really discovered? Even with one shot of alcohol, one beer, he didn't drive that well. But the more alcohol he had, the more he thought he could drive. I'm not drunk. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever met somebody that thought they were drunk? They're passing out, throwing up, falling in the floor. I'm not drunk. Because alcohol does something to one's mind. Slows down. I'll go ahead and turn the page, and I'm going to ask you a question. How much drinking do you think you should have if you're driving? Tom, how much would you recommend? 0. Why? You don't need any help. As I say on the back page of your notes, the reporter was sure he could handle his alcohol or liquor. The reporter was shocked how even one drink slowed his reaction time. And I think this is what was interesting. No matter how hard he tried to compensate, and actually the more he tried to compensate, the worse his driving became. Number 3, alcohol impairs one's reasoning or thinking ability. It impairs one's reasoning or thinking ability. Now, no one will ever admit this. Please look at me. I would suggest to you that if you want to meet somebody smart, go to a tavern. Everybody there is the smartest person on earth. How do you know? They'll tell you. They're geniuses. They're smart. They're intelligent. They got it all. They got life figured out. They got God figured out. They got the world figured out they could change the alcohol makes you stupid, but it makes you think you're somebody. It impairs your reasoning and thinking ability. I say this and I mean it. Drunks inevitably consider themselves very or more intelligent than anyone else. Anytime I'm around somebody that thinks they're intelligent, either they or their family were drunks. Look at me. Anytime I'm around somebody that thinks they're more intelligent, either they or their family were drunks. There's something about drinking. People get the impression that I'm intelligent because I drink. Now, when you start asking them, how'd you do in your master's degree or your second master's degree or your PhD in engineering? Well, they haven't even graduated from high school yet, but they're a genius. It messes up your ability to reason. By the way, in the Bible, that's the primary thing that it removes. As a leader, any kind of a leader, your primary job is the ability to grab a situation, think through the situation, come to good conclusions, see all the pieces. If alcohol affects your ability to reason, oh my goodness, you don't want to have anything to do with alcohol because then it removes your leadership. Turn back to the first page, please. Number one, alcohol has no place in the life of a leader. Number two, giving alcohol a place removes the leader's ability to do what? To lead. Number three, alcohol has a place when used medicinally. I would say this is still true. Many drugs still have alcohol in them. It does have functions. It used to be used a whole lot more in the old days. It does have functions for medicine. It did then more than now. We have many more kinds of drugs today. In the text, please. Proverbs 31. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. We wouldn't give people alcohol today, but they might give a person some kind of a medication that calms them down and relaxes them. It would be the same methodology. Matthew 27:33. This is, of course, speaking about the Lord Jesus. And when they were coming to the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar, which is the Greek word oxos, it was mingled with gall, colace, which was basically this. It was wine that had already lost its percentage of alcohol and was turning into vinegar, and they would put drugs in it, and they would do that so the person would experience relief from the pain. If you'll notice, they gave him this vinegar mixed with this drug, and it says, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Jesus went to the cross, though he had the right to dull his senses, he went to the cross willingly and with a clear mind. Verse 47. This is a little later. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias or Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, oxus again, which is just that wine that has soured, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. The second time they just gave him something to basically wet his lips, so to speak, so he could speak. Seems like he took that. Mark 15 says something similar. They bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. And basically wine and vinegar would be the names for the same things. Wine, after it lost its alcohol, when it starts to turn into vinegar. And they mixed it with multiple drugs. The Bible says he received it not. But later on, it says, and some of them that stood by, when they heard it, and behold, he calls Elijah, one of them ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone. And at that time, he seems to drink it. John 19 says the same basic things. It basically, at the very end, he does take a drink of that vinegar, that sour wine, and that's when he says, tetelestai, it is finished. So real quickly, some thoughts on this. Alcohol had a place in the ancient world as medicine. Do we still have alcohol in anything today? The answer would be yes. I used mouthwash this morning. It has alcohol in it. Can you drink it? Whew, I guess. Do people drink it to get drunk? I drink it to, you know, to rinse out my mouth. It makes my mouth feel a little better. Do we have a testimony over here, Phil? So he couldn't drink alcohol, so he drank mouthwash. When I joined the United States Navy, I've told this story before. Only old people will understand this. Mike, Frenchie. When I joined the United States Navy in 1975, they told us to bring a change of clothing with us and a few other items, and I brought the best cologne on earth. Brut. By the way, that cologne is so bad that it makes the cows run opposite directions. When I got to boot camp, no joke, I get to boot camp. You know, and all I brought was a change of, like, skivvies and some deodorant and my Brut. When I got there, they took my Brut. You say, why? Because it had alcohol in it, and people would drink the Brut. My point being is, though, friend, many things have alcohol in it for medicinal reasons. Pretty much all colognes have alcohol of some variety. I mean, this is common. Nothing wrong with that. Next, I think alcohol continues to have a place in many medicines or medical uses today. It still does. You still use it in some things, though some people don't use it as much because they get nervous and everything. That's fine. I'm not debating this. I'm simply saying we use these for these purposes today. Look at me, friend. If you were going to have surgery in the Civil War, what'd they give you? What'd they do for you? No, they hook you up to an IV, right? Most of the time, they didn't have anything. They put a piece of wood in your mouth and started sawing. Oh, my goodness. In your notes, today, we might use other drugs for those in the pains of death, but it has the same idea, meaning it's okay to give someone some drugs or medication when a person's going through a crisis to calm them down, to help them with pain and that sort of thing. So I have said three things so far. Alcohol has no place in the life of a leader. Giving alcohol a place removes the leader's ability to lead. Number three, alcohol has a place when used, what? Medicinally. So we're not saying it's always bad, always wrong. Number four, the place and lack of place is proverbial. As I say in your notes, it's a given. It's, to use Chicago speak, it's duh, duh. It's common sense. It's cultural wisdom. This is not some theory. This is reality in the form of a proverb. So we have it right here in the text. We'll just read verse 3 at first, 31:3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. You would never do anything to remove your leadership. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Hold it. Everyone look up here. Young people, let's speak to the young people here. I've already spoken to John and Josh back here, you know, these two handsome young men. You guys are nicer. Who's not as, I got to find one not as nice. We don't have any like that. Let's look at me. Let's try to be serious. You young, beautiful young ladies would not like somebody making fun of you, would you? Would you? So this is the bottom line. Look at me, everybody. You don't bring alcohol into your life because alcohol is going to, it's going to mock you. It's kind of stupid. It's bad enough if somebody makes fun of you. Why would you invite somebody in to make fun of you? Yes? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, meaning out of control. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. I'm going to close with a passage in Proverbs. I don't like this text. The last line captures my soul. When I was in high school, we had a guy a couple years older than me on a weekend. Look at me, please. This is the Dark Ages, so it's before your time. Back in the days when cars used to have a wing. That really dates me. Tim Durham, do you even remember wings? See, in the front seat, you didn't have one window. You had a window, then you had a little wing, and the wing would open up. and there was a post. A guy I knew was out drinking one day, and this didn't have air conditioning in the car, and it was in the summer. He was driving, drinking, probably smoking pot, hit a piece of gravel, hit some gravel, like coming from blacktop to gravel, spun out in his car. His car spun, slid over into the ditch. Now look at me. There was not a scratch on the car. It spun in the road, out in the country, slid into the ditch. Nothing wrong with the car. They literally started up and drove it away, except my friend, not a close friend, but a friend. We didn't have seat belts. There was no airbags. So his head bounced forward and hit that post. Split his head open. Died instantly. Hold it. Look at me. What was the school like? The same old nonsense you hear at every school today. We'll never forget. We'll never forget you. We love you. You're in our heart for 2 weeks. And everybody was back to what? Why? Well, let's read Proverbs, and you need to get the last line because you need to understand what alcohol does to you. Proverbs 23. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eye? Well, they that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It's like a rattlesnake, folks. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Are you ready? Are you ready? I will seek it. So here you are, friend. Alcohol has no place in the life of a leader. If you put alcohol, look at me, in the life of a leader, you remove your leadership ability. Alcohol in the ancient world and in our world has primary purposes medicinally, and this is proverbial. Look up here. Do you know what it means to be proverbial? Duh, are you stupid? So you walk out of here, young people, look at me. You walk out of here to college, and you try to be cool with all your cool friends. All I can say is, duh, are you stupid? Bambi, when your son died, I had a kid right outside the door crying his eyes out. Has been arrested for drinking since then. And you say, you shouldn't say these things. No, he shouldn't be drinking. He grew up in this church. Neither should the people in his family. Alcohol will make a fool of you. You want to be a leader? Stay away. Let's pray. Father,